looking, if you'll be turning in your Bibles to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. How many realizes we're in a drought in this part of the country? You don't have to go very far to tell, do you? If your yard's like my yard, it's starting to, I've not had to mow. The only advantage was I told Marie I really enjoyed that I didn't have to do. She does most of the mowing. I do part of it too. And I haven't had to mow anything in 3 weeks. That part's good, but it gets very concerning. And all you got to do is look around and you start getting concerned when your trees' leaves start curling up and things, your beautiful flowers are starting to wither and drop their blooms and things are just looking bad. And eventually your grass just turns to dirt. And it's a concerning thing. And so that's why that's going to be a little bit of our topic today. In John chapter 7, 37, I'm going to read three verses to start out with there. And if you could, if you would stand, once you found that, let's read John 7:37 through 39. And the Word of God says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink.'" Bow our heads. Lord God, I know that we are in an hour when we need more spiritual thirst than we've ever had before. God, we're in a spiritual famine. And God, this is not your desire. It doesn't have to be this way. And God, it's all up to us to get to the point where we see what's around us. And we call out on your name, and we humble ourselves before you, and God, you become the center of our lives again. And then God, you'll pour out that rain. You'll pour rivers, God, that we will not even be able to comprehend. And Lord, start that here in this place today, for we need it more than anything else. In Jesus' name, amen. You could be seated. I'd like to preach just a few minutes on a river in the desert. A river in the desert. These verses we were reading, if you look exactly what's going on, they're in the Feast of the Tabernacles. This is the last Jewish feast of the year. It's a great, very solemn 8-day feast. And for 7 days, they offer sacrifices on the altar for the 70 nations of the world at that time. And they're during that procession every day, during this time of this feast of tabernacles, the priests go to the bottom to the to Siloam, to the spring of Siloam, and they have a very large, very ornate picture that they to gather water from that pool, and they bring it to the procession up to the altar, and they pour it out on the offering. And that water is symbolic to remember that when they went through the wilderness, even though they were in a desert place, that God supplied their water. And God promised them that they would come into a land where they would have no needs of water again, and it would be a land of milk and honey. And they were living that life now. And every year at this time, every day through this feast, this is the last feast of the year, they're remembering and they're thanking God for being there to do the miraculous of bringing water from a rock in the middle of a dry and thirsty desert. But there's something special about this is the last day here when these verses are being read. This is the 8th day, and it's special today because they're not going to offer an offering for the rest of the nations today. It's just for Israel. And this is a day of when this ceremony happens today, one writer, Lightfoot, said that when this procession happened and they poured out that water this day, that the congregation was so, the trumpets blew and the people were so joyous that they cried out and said, if you've never seen or heard that celebration, you've never heard a celebration before. It was so loud, so much joy. Because not only was it talking about the past, but it was also pointing toward, they were talking, looking at the scripture that it said the Messiah was going to come. And when he came, he was going to pour out his spirit in all the earth. And they were looking forward to this Messiah. At this very moment, probably, Jesus Christ stood up in their midst. They don't realize that the very one that had provided for them in the wilderness, that brought that water from the rock that they're celebrating, is standing right there. They don't realize that the one that brought manna to them when they were hungry in the wilderness that they're celebrating, he's standing right there. They don't realize that the very one that if they're looking forward to coming and pouring out his spirit is standing in their midst. And it says, and Jesus Christ stood in their midst and he cried. Now, there's another thing you need to know, that when people in that day, when rabbis taught, they usually sit. But it says he stood. You see, a herald that was proclaiming the word of God would stand and proclaim. And Jesus probably got to a very high place. He wanted everyone to hear him. And he said these words and says, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, you're looking at the scriptures. In fact, when they were doing this ceremony, they were quoting scriptures from the book of Isaiah. They were singing some words from the book of Isaiah that talked about the water of salvation that they were pouring out, the water of salvation. He says, the scripture that you're talking about and singing about, it's me. And if you'll come to me, if you thirst, quit looking anywhere else. I'm here. And he says that anybody that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living water. There's no end. This living water is water that it just continually boils up and it's continually flowing. It's never ceasing. You'll never run out when we tap into this presence of Jesus Christ in our life. And then verse 39 goes on to talk about, he's talking about the Spirit that's getting ready to be poured out. We need to understand what we need, a thirst in this hour. You know, when we go out and look at our yard, it doesn't take us very long to get very concerned. That's why it doesn't. Most of you in here would be very glad to see a downpour right now. And if this continues a few more weeks, we'll be getting very serious. There'll be a lot more prayer going up to God because we need. But you know what? How come we don't see the same thing in the spiritual life? How come we can't look around us and see that our country is turning its face and its back on God and going the absolute opposite direction of where we're supposed to be going? And yet we don't hear a cry anymore. We don't hear a people crying out to God saying, have mercy upon us, God. We need your spiritual rain to pour in this place. It's not going to be a program in a church. It's not going to be some a kid's crusade. It's not going to be the right evangelist coming. It's going to be people get concerned enough that we get concerned and thirsty for the presence of God, and we pray for God to pour out His Spirit again. The most exciting thing is that we know it's available. It's available. You know, in Scripture, we see that drought was always symbolic of sin. And when people turn their back on God, most of the time drought would come and God's judgment would come upon them. I'm telling you, God wants to pour out His Spirit more than the rain in this part of the country needs. We need spiritual rain. We need God's presence to pour out. You know, water is very important to your body. Very important. I don't know if you know or realize how important you will. If you ever have been dehydrated, you realize how important it is to your body. I only had a couple years ago, I had one, I won't go into all the details, but I got very, very dehydrated. I passed out. Marie thought I died for a few minutes there, scared her to death, and there wasn't a thing I could do about it. I knew I was going down, and there wasn't a thing I could do about it. It was the most frightening feeling in the entire world when you get to that point. I found some statistics on water. It's very important to your life. Do you realize that two-thirds, most of you know some of these things, but some of them might surprise you, two-thirds of your body is water. So a man that's 200 pounds, about 140 pounds of you is water. It's amazing, isn't it? You are mostly water. Your body will absorb cold water quicker than it will warm water or hot water. This one amazed me. By the time you're 70 years old, you will have consumed 1.5 million gallons of water. Could not believe that. How important water is to us. Some of you may, I need to read this one. Studies that show that increasing your water consumption can decrease your fat deposits. Water is a natural appetite suppressant. We need water. If you lose 2% of your body's water supply, your energy will be decreased by 20%. Just 2%. Two more. If you lose 10% of your water, you will not be able to even walk. And if you lose 20% of your water, you're dead. Water's important. And just as important it is to this physical body, spiritual water, that Holy Spirit is so important to this age and this time that we live in. We're living in an hour where we have convinced, if we don't watch, we will have convinced ourselves that it's not important anymore. We will convince ourselves that we can live this relationship with Jesus Christ and not have a relationship of God being able to pour out His Spirit upon us, and it's not true. We have got to get to the point where we're thirsty. We've got to get to the point where we see the condition we're in and we have such a hunger for the things of God that we start calling out on God again. We need to be thirsty. And those that are thirsty is going to do like four things I want to look at. Four things. If you're really thirsty, the first thing you're going to do is cry out. If you are, if one of your kids gets thirsty, they're going to come, they're going to start looking for water. And they're going to cry out, "Mom, Dad, I want something to drink." It doesn't take us very long. But we've got to get to the place where we have a desire for the things of God. Thirst is an eager desire, even a painful and intense sensation from the lack of water. There is nothing more horrible, so nothing more intense to the human body to be deprived of water. It is horrible. It is incredible. There's nothing that will pain you more than going without water for a period of time. In Psalms 63:1, David realized what this was about. Psalm 63:1-2, it says, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I've seen thee in the sanctuary. He is in the midst of the wilderness, and even though he's looking around him and he sees that everything is dry, there is no water, and no doubt he's probably very thirsty himself. Yet his spiritual desire for the things of God trumps that physical thirst. Moreover, so that what his voice is crying out is not bring me water, but God, all this does is remind me of the times I've been in your presence and I sense my need for more of you. I want to be back in your presence. I want to experience the fullness of your power. God, I thirst and desire you more than anything else. That's where we need to be. We cannot allow ourselves to keep going the way we are if you look inside yourself and you feel like you're dry. And listen, I'm talking to me more than anyone else. I know I need more of the things of God in my life. I want revival. I want God to pour out His Spirit. I want to come into this place and feel God's presence the moment I come through the door. I want us to have to tell people it's 3 o'clock in the morning, it's time to go home. I want to see God's power pouring out in this place where people's needs are met and my needs are met and my family's needs are met and God's Spirit is pouring out, because that's what everyone is really thirsting for. But what we find out is what we're really doing is we are satisfying ourselves with everything else. We quench our thirst temporarily with the things of this world, only to find out that we're more thirsty than when we started. There's nothing this world's ever going to offer you that's going to satisfy your thirst. We've got to get to where we cry out. Everything starts to see. Cry out. Number two, we must come. He says here when he stands before them, if you are thirsty, then come, come to me, come to the source. Isaiah 55, verse 1 says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye and buy. eat, yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. If you are thirsting, come to me. I've already got the supply waiting. Just as the picture shows of the water is being held back, and on one side there's the river flowing, on the other side is the desert. The choice is yours. The supply is there. But if you're going to get anything to drink, you got to come to the source. Jesus Christ is the source. You're not going to find it out there in a job. You're not going to find it out there on anything else this world's got to offer. You're going to find it at the source. And Jesus Christ stood before them and said, I am the source. When you drank in the wilderness, I was the source. When you want to drink today, I am the source and I will satisfy your soul. Ho, it's a word of exclamation. Come, if stop what you're doing. Come to me. I'm what you're looking for. There's probably not one of you in here that would be able to say, I'm satisfied, I've got everything I need. We are looking, we're searching, we're hungry, we're thirsty. We need to be more thirsty, and we're only going to find our needs met with Jesus Christ. He says, come, that water, that spring of salvation is being poured out for those that will come and drink. Number three, we must consume. Just because you come, you can come and hear about it. You can read the word where God says or Jesus says, I am that water you're looking for. You can come in a service. You can feel God's presence moving. You see God's presence moving all over the place. And you can feel chills running up and down your spine. But unless you get down yourself and drink, it's going to do you no good. You'll leave just like you came in. We've got to actually consume. John 4, 13 and 14 says, and Jesus answered. He's talking to the woman at the well. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, talking about the well water. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. You've got to come to the well and you've got to consume. You've got to drink. You've got to take in the things that's made available. Last night, the ambulance service was working the 4th of July event, and we were concerned about our crews that was going to be out there. We were trying to take care of anybody that was going to have, you know, some of these heat strokes or collapse from the heat. But first of all, we got to make sure we're not the ones collapsing. I didn't go, but I was real concerned, wasn't I? But I was concerned about them. So I made sure I talked to the officer and says, make sure that they're getting hydrated before they get out there. It's very important that you get yourself, don't go out there already half out of water and get out there and try to help other people and they're going to pass out. The big problem we've got, if we have most of this younger generation, they drink a whole lot of Mountain Dew. How many is here knows that if you're really thirsty, what your body's craving is not Mountain Dew. You think some young people's going to say, no, that's what I'm craving. But your body is craving that pure water. But if you don't watch, our young people will go out and they'll fill themselves up with something else, Mountain Dew, that's full of caffeine and all this syrup and stuff. And if you don't watch, you'll get worse off than if you hadn't drunk anything. So I had to make sure, hydrate yourself, get pure water, stay off the stuff that substitutes. You know what? Too many times we've got ourselves so full of everything else that we're not even thirsty for the things of God. We look around us and everything's drying up and we see that God's power is not moving like it should in our churches. We're not seeing the power of God being poured out. We're not seeing the works of the Spirit happening, and yet we're so dull. And you know what? One of the things that's so concerning about being dehydrated, one of the things that they teach us, that when we go out and we're treating children, if you come to a child and that child's crying and yet there's no tears, they're probably dehydrated. You know what? We can get to the point where we can't even cry anymore because we've gotten so distant from the source, Jesus Christ. We've got from where we don't stand at altar and cry out to God and tap into that source, that river that is going to overflow us, that's going to cause everything to be filled with life. We stay so far away from the things of God that we can't even feel anymore. We're so weak that we're barely hanging on, but we're trying to still do it without tapping into the source. Jesus says, come, not only come, but partake of what I have for you. Come and drink. It's available. The fountain's flowing. All you've got to do is lean down and tap into this source that I have. Quit going through life thirsty and empty. Quit going into services and not feeling the presence of God. Quit coming up against that obstacle and let Satan mow you down. Quit going through life weak and not knowing how you're going to make it through another day. Tap into that source and let that river start flowing. Let's start calling out on God that He will pour out His Spirit again. We've got to be hydrated every day in that presence of God. Don't think that you can tell the story of, let me tell you what God did 30 years ago. I was right here and God filled me with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But you need to be able to say, He filled me 30 years ago, and this morning I felt the exact same thing again. I tapped right back into that same source. He wants to fill you. You know what? It's available. And He looks and He wants and He desires to pour it out. And we don't need to be like those people that are looking for the Messiah to come and pour out His Spirit. And He stands in front of them and says, here I am. I'm right here. If you want a drink, come and drink. And how many came and took and partook of what He did? You know what? His resources are endless. I remember I was pretty little. My grandmother, my dad's mom, boy. Well, both my grandmothers knew how to cook. And my dad's mother, I've never seen anything. Dad was from a very large family. It seemed like we'd all pop in there at the same time, Dad being the oldest. And all the brothers and sisters would come in. And in an hour, she could have, I've never seen, our homecoming didn't have as much food as being her house. I don't know how she could throw all this food together in 1 hour. She's chasing down chickens and she's cooking and making cakes and she's frying stuff and lard's flying and an hour later we come in and you can't find a place to sit down because of all the food. And she wanted to supply her food. Well, one of the things she had was fish. She'd fix fish and I like fish. And I was little she let the kids come to the table quick that was just one thing she had. And I guess there must have not only been about, there's probably 30, 40 people there. And it's probably only like 8 pieces of fish. Well, I threw 3 or 4 on my plate. Being stupid and young, I liked that fish and I wanted it. My dad was getting all over me about that. And my grandma was like, now, Carl, you leave that boy alone. He's a growing boy. Look at that. You let him have all he wants. You know, she took up for me, so I ended up with 2 or 3 anyway. And I could tell he wasn't very happy. But he was worried about the supply running out. But you know what? This supply will never run out. This well is ever flowing. His Spirit is available to you. You can never run it dry. And the problem is we don't even want to tap into it. It is so sad that we live in the hour that we live in and around us. The presence of God is here to be poured out. And God's eyes are looking and He's searching for those that are hungry for Him. And He wants to pour out His Spirit. And He sits there and says, don't you see the supply I have? It's all based on your hunger and your desire. All you got to do is call out. All you got to do is get thirsty for me and quit trying to fill yourself with everything else. All you got to do is see what you're really looking for is right here. I've got it for you. It's available. All you got to do is ask. All you got to do is cry out. All you got to do is come and partake of it. And you'll see that it's going to be overwhelming. It's going to be overflowing. And yet we go every day. We're empty. We're dry. And this presence of God is made available. And it's going to come down to us getting so hungry that we start crying out to God again. That we start wailing again. That we start crying out, God, we can't have anything else. We want You. There's nothing going to satisfy You. You're never going to find what you're looking for in anything else. John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14 says, and Jesus, I've actually read that one. Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let them that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Jesus stands here even today. It says, come. You know what? When you're growing up, when you're hungry, your mother's made a meal, and you're out playing in the yard, and you're hungry, and it's been a while since you're really just, you know mom's fixing, you can smell the food. And all of a sudden, she says, come and eat, boys. It didn't take me many times to get in there. I couldn't wait to come and partake of what was laid out. If you go to your grandparents or even when it's homecoming time, isn't that exciting? Have a great service and then you go in and get to partake of that wonderful blessing that you ladies have prepared. All the things that God's prepared is so much even greater. And He sees right here saying, come on, come on. I've prepared it. I've got a well overflowing. You'll never thirst again if you tap into this source. I want to refresh you. I want to strengthen you. I want to pour out my Spirit on you. I've got a plan to use you. But it all comes and starts with us getting thirsty again. There was a Brazilian ship that shipwrecked. and the crew had drifted for days in the lifeboat, and they had no water. Their tongues were sticking to the top of their mouth. They were so thirsty, they knew they were limited on how much time they had. But they wouldn't drink the water. They were surrounded by water, but they couldn't drink it because it was salt water. And they knew that it was going to make it worse. It would kill them quicker. So they just toughed it out, and he just kept waiting and waiting. And finally, they seen in the distance a ship coming toward them. And when the ship got within ear's distance of them, they weren't screaming, "Save me." They were screaming one word, "Water, water." Barely could get the words out of their mouths. Does this make you thirsty? It's making me thirsty. They were screaming, "Water." And they heard somebody from the ship say, "Put your bucket over the side." And they thought, "We must have misunderstood them. Water, water." And then they got closer and they said, "Put your bucket over the side." What they didn't realize, for the last 3 days, they had now drifted into the opening of the mouth of the great river, Amazon River. And it was in fresh water for 3 days. And all they had to do was dip over the side. And what they were looking was right there next to what they were searching for was all around them. For 3 days, they could have been drinking, and they didn't know that what they needed to survive was right there. Isn't that where we are? What we really need is right here. And we're so satisfied. We're still crying, "Water. We need water. Who's going to get us water?" And the Lord says, "Just dip out your bucket. Just dip out. I'm right there. My sources are endless. You cannot drain it dry. I want to flow out of you. I want to feel that longing in your soul. Just quit crying out and partake of me." And then last, in closing, we must continue. Once we've tasted of that goodness of God, don't get up from that altar and walk away and say, "I'll see how long I can go again." But every day, God desires us to stay plugged in. God wants us to stay at His fountain every day, refilling ourselves with the power of the Holy Spirit overflowing. We need to stay at the source. Don't let ourselves get dry again. Don't think we can take a drink and then come back in 2 weeks because we're never going to make it. God's desire for you is for every day to be overflowing in your life. John 7:38 says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly," same thing or that we read a minute ago, "shall flow rivers of living water." John 6:35, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst." It is God's desire that you do not get away from his presence, but every day that you be not thirsty, but overwhelmingly full of his presence, so that your life is not just full, but overflowing. The little widow woman that was that her sons were getting ready to be sent to the creditors, and all she had was just a little bit of oil left in the cup. She talked to the prophet, and the prophet said to her, "Go get every vessel you can get. Get them all." It didn't make sense. Go borrow all these empty vessels. I'm at the point where I'm going to make my last little bit of meal. My husband is already dead. My sons are getting ready to be taken into slavery for the debt that's owed. I'm getting ready to eat the last of my meal. I have nothing else in the house. It's over. But he told her, "Go get every vessel you can get your hands on." She sends them boys out, do what he says. And they go borrow from every neighbor, every pot they can find. And they come back not knowing what's going to happen. And the prophet says, "Start pouring." She takes that little cruse of oil and she starts filling. And it's really small, but this big pot she starts out with, well, it comes to the top and it's overflowing. And then we'll go to the next one, and she just keeps doing that over and over again till every single pot that they could ever find and borrow is now to the top and flowing over, and then it stayed. Let me tell you something. God doesn't want to just give you enough to get by, but God wants to give you enough of His presence and His Spirit that you not only be able to affect your own life, but those people around you. God wants you to continue at the fountain. God wants us to continue in His presence so that He can use us. Someone would come to the piano. There was another time in history we were kind of like we are right now. The year was 1857. Church attendance had waned. People weren't going to church anymore. There was a real cynicism toward the things of God. Church was getting a bad name, and people were turning their back on God every direction in this country. But there was a man in New York City. His name was Jeremiah Lamphere. He had a burden. He didn't want to give up. And he started trying to gather people and started advertising. He wanted to start a 12 o'clock prayer meeting at a little mission in downtown New York City on Fulton Street. Day came for this first. He put all kinds of material out, talked to tons of people. First day he got there, and for the first long period of time, not even one person came. But before he left, he heard somebody's footsteps come up the steps of the mission, and then he heard another and then another. And before it was over, there were six men there that cried out to God. 3 weeks later, the word was getting out, and now there was over 100 people coming to pray every day at noon. It didn't stop there. Before you knew it, other churches, because they outgrew the mission, the other churches around started opening their doors, and it started overflowing. People were filling up all the churches. Until March of 58, Burton's Theater, which could hold 3,000 people, could not contain them. It was full to the brim and flooding over. And before it was over with, the police stations and the fire departments and every building around was having to open up to be able to contain the people who was coming to call out on God. And it didn't stop there. It spread to New England, and it spread to the entire country and kept going and kept growing. Why? Because a small group of people, one man's vision to call out on God, and he tapped into that source of the presence of God, and it didn't just fill up his life, but it spread and it kept growing till God sent a revival in 1958 that touched this entire country. And it was so important because 3 years later, we entered the Civil War. We have no idea what tomorrow holds, but I can tell you what we do know. We need revival. We need God's power. We cannot make it the way we're going. We cannot keep living in a dry and thirsty land and thinking that we're going to see the presence of God have its way. God wants to pour out a river of His presence in this country, but it's going to start with somebody calling out on Him. He's not going to overflow you. You won't find someone in Scripture that all of a sudden they were overflowing with the presence of God who didn't come and ask for it, who was not hungry for the things of God. It takes us calling out on Him. And the resources are available. How is it going to be if we knew that if we would have called it on God, that that grandchild or that husband or wife or that son or daughter or that loved one that you care so much about would have turned and came in, if we would have just spent a few more moments saying, God, fill me up. God, pour out, Lord, Your Spirit upon me. God, I'm dry, I'm thirsty, I'm empty. God, I need You to pour through me. I'm tired of living in the desert in my soul. I feel dry, Lord, but God, spring forth within me with Your Holy Spirit, and not only me, but God, those around me, send revival. Send revival. There's something contagious about someone filled with the presence of God. And this is the last thing I'm going to read. Psalmist said in Psalm 42, as the hart, which is a deer, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Can we get to that point where we say, God, more than anything else, my soul thirsts for You. You living God, come alive in me. Bring revival here. Bring revival in my life. Overflow me. God, give me such a thirst for You that nothing else will ever quench. Let us stand. God, we need to hear You again. God, we know that, God, just as that day You stood before the people and You cried with a loud voice and said, why are You standing there looking for the promise? Why are You standing there thirsty? And here I stand. All You got to do is come. All You got to do is call out. All You got to do is take part of this well that I will overflow within You. I will quench the thirsting in Your soul. God, pour it out today. Give us a desire, Lord, that we will quit waiting for someone else to do it, or we'll quit waiting for revival to come so that we can get in it. But God, that we'll say to God, I need it now. I can't wait another day, Lord. I don't want to see anything else dry up. I don't want to see anyone else go into eternity, Lord, without you. God, fill me up so others can see you are alive. That God, that you're a flowing well that springs up within me. God, would give hope to those around me. God, we're in the last days. God, pour out your Spirit. Open our blinded eyes. Open our deaf ears that we again can hear you and desire you and call out on you. And God, send down that rain, that torrential spiritual outpouring in this place. That God, that it flows, Lord, through every life that's here today. If there's one that doesn't know you, they'll call out on you. And God, that Lord, we be filled and saturated so much that when we go out of this place today, not tonight, not tomorrow, today, that God, that we get everyone else around us wet because we've been in your presence, Almighty God. Open your, God, your well and spring forth in this place.